Hey, welcome back. Farm Talk time. Mick Kerr heading up to the North Dakota Corn Growers Office with Randy Melvin, Buffalo, North Dakota farmer and leadership right now at the North Dakota Corn Growers this year. And do you have presidential-type corn on the farm today, Randy?
Well, you know, it's definitely a good day for a corn plant, Mick.
Sure. You can, and you can hear it grow all night, huh?
You know, we're happy. Yeah, it's made some. It's really jumped here the last few days and last week, so it's getting better. We made knee high and above that a little bit behind last year and a few years, but I guess every year is a different challenge, and just hopefully Mother Nature keeps up a few more days like this.
Yeah, I was down in northeast South Dakota over the weekend, and I saw some waist high corn. I was pleasantly surprised. This corn is really taken off. What? I guess any other production issues or disease issues or any other concern agronomy-wise?
You know, right now, I think it's just getting some timely rains and getting some heat to push this crop a little bit so we can kind of get back to somewhat closer to a normal growing point to what we were, but and pick up some GD growing degree units a little bit, I guess. But, you know, right now, it's going to all hinge on what Mother Nature gives us between now and October.
For sure. All righty. Well, the Corn Growers and Corn Council getting together tomorrow and Wednesday in Carrington for some group discussion meeting. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, Mick. So the growers are meeting tomorrow in Carrington, and with it, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of policy, kind of recap of the last North Dakota legislative session. We're going to have a couple legislators in just to visit about, you know, kind of what's coming up here and they're seeing down the road and their thoughts on the past session. We're also going to get an update from D.C. and lay of the land, what's going on there, and because a few of us are heading out to D.C. next week for National Corn Grower meetings. And then just kind of, you know, having our action team meetings, and I've got a few other things on the agenda, but it's just a lot of policy.
All right. Well, yeah, the work at hand of the corn growers. So next week, going to Washington for all the action team meetings. You're on the risk management action team for NCGA. I guess that might be a real hot topic this year, especially the corn growers down in the I states. They've got some high anxiety that guys up here in the Dakotas and Minnesota feel every year.
You know, yeah. I mean, so the risk management action team, you know, that action team covers, you know, Title I of the Farm Bill, tax policy, crop insurance. So with, you know, FSA, you know, we're official of FSA in. You know, we're also going to have RMA in talking about crop insurance that will prevent a plant. I'm sure it's going to be something talked about, you know, the cover crop. Moving to September 1, probably some questions for our RMA administrator when we have him in to the room for a meeting. And then also we're hoping to get in, you know, NAS officials to kind of help explain how they're going to do the resurvey for the 14 states. For you know, the acreage intentions that they had on the 28th of June, that now they're going to resurvey for, so to get some answers and explanations from NAS also.
All right, and I guess the answers might spawn a few questions. Do you have what questions do you have about all of the resurveying and all of the data that's come out so far?
Well, I guess, you know, my question personally, you know, is how are they going to do it? I'd like to know kind of in depth how they're going to do this resurvey. Is it going to be strictly off of farmer surveys? I think the other thing about it, too, is, I mean, when you look at it, you know, NAS on the June 20th report, I mean, 16% of the corn acres were intended to be planted acres. And I guess, you know, as I look at going forward here, you know, NAS has to get this number when they release it on August 12th accurate. And I think, you know, that's going to be some of the questions that the RMAT team has is what is NAS going to do to ensure that that's an accurate number? And, you know, and how can they, you know, make some changes going forward so this doesn't happen, so on that what's supposed to be your final acreage number report doesn't have so many intended acres on it. I know this is probably that 1 year and hopefully a lifetime that you have this type of weather problems, but, you know, once you see it, it can happen again. So it's learning from it. And what changes are they going to make moving forward?
Yeah, but the last two reports from USDA have just been kind of almost shocking as far as intentions and actual and, you know, jumping to 91.7. That was an unbelievable number last week.
Yeah, you know, and that's just it. I mean, that was the number that shocked so many people is the percentage of intended acres that were on there, and that's what they got to 91.7. You know, and a couple weeks prior, the WASD supply and demand report, that one they had used 88. And, you know, so now the question people are asking, too, is on the July 11th report coming here with WASD, what number are they going to use? Are they going to use the 91.7 that may or may not be accurate, depending on what the resurveys show? So with it, the consequence of that report, if that 91.7 ends up not being accurate, which many in the trade believe it is not, it's lower than that. Some said it could be, you know, and that's up to debate. That's not my decision to say if it's accurate or not. But I think the thing is the unintended consequences, if WASD uses that number, people using that number going forward, when it may not be an accurate number.
For sure. And these are all things that affect the price of corn, the demand for corn, the end use numbers, and the export number, all these things. So let me just say that to all the corn growers out there listening, this is what your leadership does when they go to the nation's capital, when they meet. This is why it's important to be members of the North Dakota Corn Growers. Guys, tackle these issues. And President of the Corn Growers, Randy Melvin, is doing just that. Hopefully, Randy, when you get to Washington next week, progress on USMCA might be a little more definitive.
Yeah, we're hoping so, Mac. I know next week, you know, it's definitely on the forefront for our Capitol Hill visits, for our, you know, for our own state, for our senators and representatives, but also, too, they give members of the National Corn Growers the opportunity to visit non-corn state members. So like last year when I participated, we were visiting with staff people from congressmen from New Hampshire and then also from Nevada. So you get the opportunity to visit about, you know, whether it's USMCA, trade, RFS, you know, farm bill, crop insurance, all things that are important to a corn farmer, you know, with non-corn state members. It's really a good opportunity to help create that dialogue and also to explain why some of these programs are beneficial to such a large section of the U.S. economy.
In New Hampshire, probably a state that they need a little education. How about some of the desert southwest states, Arizona, Nevada? They're probably not big for corn growing, but are they kind of on board in rural agenda?
Yeah, I think it really varies, Mick, on the representative, the senator who you're dealing with. I mean, there's education. Doesn't matter if you're in Georgia or Indiana or North and South Dakota to California. I think there's opportunity there to help educate these elected officials and their staffers, you know, about these policies that have such a big effect. And yes, you know, in Nevada, Arizona, maybe a little bit removed, but yet there still is livestock in those states that consumes corn, consumes soybeans. So it gives us as egg producers an opportunity to visit and talk about the benefits to the state of these policies for egg producers.
Yeah, because they got E15 for sale in Nevada, Arizona, and New Hampshire. Friday's announcement from the EPA on the renewable volume obligation. Only about 90 seconds to go here, Randy, but your thoughts on Friday's announcement from EPA?
You know, the first thing was a little disappointed from the standpoint that they didn't address the refinery waivers on it. I know there's 38 pending for 2018. I guess next week it's going to be a topic. You know, it's going to be a really hot topic. I'm sure. I know that Paul Thomas serves on the ethanol action team. They're going to have a lot of conversations, I'm sure, about this in their action team meetings. And, you know, with it, I guess next week we'll learn more, and it's something that's definitely going to be a conversation piece when we're on Capitol Hill visiting with elected officials.
I know the cellulosic folks are, I guess, a little happy, but the waivers and the RVOs and all of these issues that just continue to be unresolved and just putting a dent in the demand for corn, just very frustrating. So, again, thanks for heading off to D.C. next week to do that. Hope you have good meetings the next couple of days up in Carrington. And, Randy, I hope that crop grows 2 inches a day here this week.
I like that, Mick. That'd be great. So, yeah.
Looking good. All righty. Let's see. Other than that, how about the soybeans out there around Buffalo, North Dakota? Are they jumping up and growing too?
You know, the beans in around this area, yeah, they've really jumped here this last few days. They're starting to look better now. But, you know, they're still behind. But beans, you know, it's not the last time we planted beans in the first 2 weeks of June before, I guess. So it's they're coming along. There's still a long season left for them. Just need some heat and some timely rains, and I think they'll come out and be a respectable crop.
And so, a frost in November, that'd be all right, too. So, all righty.
Frost in November would be perfect.
Yeah. All righty. Randy Melvin, president of North Dakota Corn Growers, thank you for the visit. Have a productive week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mick. You have a great week.
Yep. Bye now.